Tony Basilio, welcome you to another edition, ladies and gentlemen, of Garza Law, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. The Volunteers put on a show today. And I'll say this right now. One J. Billis from ESPN, from my perch, was very, very, very impressed with what Tennessee did. But the Volunteers today fall. And unfortunately, in these games, we keep score. Unfortunately, we keep score. So, but it was a great ball game. Tennessee did everything in that game but win the game. They did everything in that game but win the game. Everything. They did everything. And I don't want to hear anybody bitch about officiating. The officiating was not. Tennessee got away with more clutching and grabbing in that game. I mean, I'm sorry. I know that's what we do around here. We cry about refs. That ball game, at the end of it all, that ball game came down to this. Carolina's kids are seasoned. They're just seasoned. I mean, that's the bottom line. The only way to get your program to a point where you win games like that is you either have better players, which you have to do that. You have to have better players when you play a team like that because they're going to put the ball in the hands. You saw what they do down the stretch. And you got in your guard play. Your guard play has to be better. Your guard play has to be better. What Carolina did in that game, which was really interesting, is they let Williams go. And at the end of the game, if you go back and you watch the end of that game, because I was charting it, Williams was gassed at the end of that game. He missed two or three shots that Williams does not ordinarily miss. When you look at the numbers in that basketball game, and we will, Tennessee did everything today but win the game. They did everything but win the game. They did exactly what they needed to do to win the game. Great experience for the basketball team. No question about it. I want to hear from you at 865-200-5402. If you were in attendance today, my son was. My son used my tickets. And my daughter actually got invited over there by a guy as well. Two pretty good basketball teams battling it out there. That's not the best Carolina team you're going to see, but it's two pretty good teams. Two pretty good teams. And Tennessee gave, I thought, a really good account for themselves. And Carolina did make great half-court adjustments. And let's say something about winning time. When Roy Williams, he put that press in his pocket for most of the game, and I'm going to talk with Griff about this later, but the key possession was when they decided to come out after a timeout, after a bucket, They came out with that pressure, and we were not ready for it, and it was a quick turnover. Just a quick turnover. All in all, my two favorite teams. I'm a Vol basketball fan, and I'm a Sixer basketball fan in the NBA. And both of those teams are in a similar position, and this is it. They're going to beat most of the teams they should beat, both of my teams right now. But they're not quite good enough. They just don't have enough pieces yet. They just don't have enough pieces to beat that Carolina team. And my Sixers are not going to go and beat the Cavaliers. And there's no... The bottom line is, unless you shoot 60% from the field, it's going to be very difficult to win a game like that. Don't anybody get mad at me. 865-200-5402. And I'm a guy who says that it would be really nice to go out and add a top 100 piece with what we have, and then you'd win a game like that. Because then you'd have somebody to take the pressure off of Williams. You see, if you saw what happened in that game, what I saw in that game is, I saw us get great production, and we'll look at the box score here in a second, out of a guard. That was a great signing for them. Daniel Kidd's a great signing for them. A kid that you knew could score. But I'm telling you right now, Tennessee did everything today to win that game, but win that game. And I'm damn proud of that effort. Let's talk about the numbers. Tennessee in the game, though they start strong from the field, they end up 37% from the field. And what they did is, which you can't do against these particular teams, you can't go stone cold Steve Austin at the end of the first half, and then you can't have a stretch there 7.5 minutes in the second half where you don't get a field goal. It's not going to work. Just not going to work. But as it is, Tennessee showed that they belong on that stage. They belong on that stage. Now, being able to close out a game like that and being in a game like that are two different things. Talk to East Tennessee State about their trip to Xavier yesterday. And if you're in Upper East Tennessee, I'm not trying to open any wounds, but that's the game of basketball. That's the game of basketball. 865-200-5402. Roy Williams today, I give him credit. I mean, he just went like this. He went, okay, we're going to play this thing to get to the last 3.5 minutes, and then I'm putting the ball in the hands of my senior. And boy, is that a nice luxury to have, Joel Berry. Is that nice? That's nice. And for Tennessee, you've got that ragtag backcourt, and you know what? They didn't play badly. They did not play badly. They did not play badly. Bone gave Tennessee a solid game today. But we'll look at some of the numbers later on. What inevitably does Tennessee in? Points in the paint. Carolina beat Tennessee up today. 40-24, they beat them up. They bludgeoned Tennessee. We'll go to the phones. And then Carolina, when they had opportunities late, converted. And that big three, hey, that big three from Williams, I mean, that's, what is that? The pick from Pinson? And look, I'm not blaming Admiral Schofield today, because I'm going to tell you something. Tennessee almost stole that game on his hustle. On that hustle. I got several texts from in the gym, and I want to hear from people, and we're going to go to the phones. I want to, and right now, and I'm going to shut up. But I had several people today inside that gym tell me that that place hasn't felt like that since Bruce Pearl was the head coach here. And so I'd like to officially welcome Tennessee basketball back, because that's what that was today. Tennessee basketball came back. We'll go to the phones. People are on my Periscope feed are bitching about the officiating. Can I please say something here, and then we'll go to the phones? I don't want to get killed, but I'm going to give you my opinion. It's what I do. You can think whatever you want to think. Here's the truth about officiating. The way they called today's game really benefited Tennessee, because they let Tennessee clutch and grab all game. clutch and grab. And that's how we stayed in the game. Now, if you don't see that, that's fine. If you don't want to see that, that's fine. But they let us clutch and grab the whole game. The refs had nothing to do with Tennessee losing that game. Nothing. Not a damn thing. You could say they were terrible in the second half. Here's the thing I don't like about officiating. And Jay Billis is right. Why do you have to look at a monitor for 5 minutes? What were they looking at on that three ball by Williams? If anything, they take the complete flow of the game away. The game was fairly officiated. It was a very good college basketball game. It was a very good game. Hey, if I'm a Carolina fan, I'm looking at Tennessee and I'm saying, man, that damn guy gets the most out of his talent. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, man, we were in a street fight today. We're used to playing in the 90s. They beat the hell out of us. They had us in the 60s. I give Tennessee a lot of credit for that. I told you earlier in the week, this Tennessee team reminds me of some of those Temple teams that I watched where they just drag you into the mud. And it's a hell of a lot of fun to watch. Let's go to the phones. 865-200-5402. I love seeing Tennessee drag Carolina into that game. And they pushed Carolina. They pushed them. You get credit for that. Marky Boy Griffin will join us when he gets out of there. Alex will be by here a little later on. Our cast of characters, studs and stallions. To the phones we go. And let's get our calls in at 865-200-5402. And hello and welcome to our first caller on your Garza Law Tennessee Basketball Overtime, a special edition at the end of the North Carolina game where the Vols come up short, 78-73, and I'll go through some of the numbers here in a second. Let's get some calls in. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, Dylan, this is Eric.
Hey, Eric, welcome in, buddy.
Man, that was a really good game. I'm going to tell you, I like this team. I like the hustle out of this team. They pass the ball around. Man, when it's time to shoot, you got to shoot. And I thought Tennessee did a really good job in the first half of, well, knocking down the things from the field that they were shooting, but of making the defensive pressure and making the turnovers and getting the ball back in their hands. It didn't seem like they had the same kind of pop there defensively. The other thing that I was just hollering at the TV from about midway through the period on down to about 2 minutes was take it to the paint. They kept chucking it from outside. Grant Williams had gone cold. He'd lower that shoulder and try a move and put it up, and he wasn't hitting anything. Nobody was. Man, take it to the paint. And the couple of times that they did, bam, they either got a bucket or they got to the stripe. Do you realize it was like 221, I think, when Tennessee finally got into the bonus? I mean, my goodness. Look, guys, you're shooting 12 of 15 on the night from the free throw line at one point. You've got to start taking it to the paint, get the fouls on their bigs, get yourself to the line, and if they want to foul you, win it at the free throw stripe. It's exactly what they did at Georgia Tech, man. You've got to go to the stripe, man. So,
yeah, and in your building especially, right? In your building,
exactly.
You've got to go to the stripe especially.
Exactly. And plus, you get some fouls on their bigs. It fires your crowd up. Any number of benefits you can get there, not the least of which is just putting the damn ball in the hole, make the score. So of course, Carolina's going to let Williams go because, like you said, he was gassed and he wasn't hitting anything. I loved Admiral's hustle on that play there. He gave Tennessee a chance to win.
He sure did.
Pulled ahead 70-69, and I said, man, we're winning this thing. Because all you got to do at that point is play some defense at the other end, get the ball back, and we're going to get the last possession. From where I sit, Tom, the officiating was pretty even. I agree with you. It was not that bad, and especially considering you had Pat Adams out there. I mean, I've heard so much about this guy and seen so much. I was expecting us to really get drilled, but they didn't. They played it pretty good. One other observation, and I'll get out of here. The two times I saw Tennessee had the ball due to some miscues, they had the ball coming in with less than 5 seconds on the shot clock. And one of these was impossible. It was like 2 seconds or something. You're not really going to set up a shot. But Barnes could have taken the timeout right there. It's in the first half. He still had three timeouts.
Yeah.
Take the timeout and at least try to set something up. every point matters. The timeouts don't carry over to the second half, but the points sure as hell do.
You know, Barnsey, the thing about Barnsey, though, is he lets his guys play. I mean, and you know what? The way those kids play for him, it's hard to argue with that. Now, I don't know if I like the rotation and who was on the floor as we were struggling there at the very end of the game. And I got to talk to Griff about that. Yeah. Somebody had made a point about the 4.5-minute mark. I want to talk to Griff about our rotation today and who was on the floor at the end. It was a little puzzling to me.
Yeah. The second time that they had the ball like that, they had, I think, 4 seconds to go. So you saw them set up, and they had screen, they had a cutter, they had this and that. They got the ball. I think Lamonte Turner ran in top of the key, and he's fixing to make a shot. And then for some reason, he decides to make one more pass. And it's like, dude, you've got to put the ball up. There's not time for one more pass.
At the end of that, and that's just and that's feeling it. You know, Lamonte does a lot of things well. And boy, he's a nice streak shooter for Tennessee. He didn't have it today. He's only 1 of 8 from the field for 2 points. He looked out of sorts. I'll tell you who saved Tennessee's bacon today is James Daniel. If James Daniel doesn't come to play the way he did, we get blown out of there. But that's the game. Yeah. Hey, Eric, thanks, man.
Right on, brother. Take care.
Thank you. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Is my number if you want to get in with us. Let me bring Mark Griffin in here now, who will join us on your Garza Law Tennessee Basketball Overtime, a special edition. We'll be doing these after every Southeastern Conference games. Griff, welcome in, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, Tony. Good, man. How are you?
Griff, full disclosure, you're married to a longtime, lifelong North Carolina fan who grew up with Carolina in her blood. You love our basketball Vols. I bet that had to thrill you today to see Tennessee play the way they did on that stage, have a chance to get the basketball game, and it's a little frustrating they didn't get it, but there was a lot of great things that we saw out there today.
Yeah, so overall, Tony, I thought it was a great basketball game for both teams, very intense, great defense. I thought Tennessee did some great things today, and then at the end, made a couple of big turnovers that were very costly. And like you mentioned earlier about the refs, I mean, you're just not going to get good ref call. You can't rely on refs either way. You've just got to play through it. You got to make things happen, and you got to take care of the ball at the end of the game. And I just think some things were crucial. I know that we'll dive into with your callers today, but was very pleased of the atmosphere. Fantastic. Fans were getting in it. Throughout the whole game, I've not been to a game like this since Coach Pearl was here, when he was, you know, had record crowds back then. So I think, like you said, Tony, Tennessee basketball is back because they showed they can play with Carolina. I still think they're one player away from overcoming a team like Carolina, which you see with the leadership with Joel Berry. We just don't have that type of player that can take over a ball game from minute one like you do with Berry's leadership.
And people hate it when I say it, Griff, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to say it because it's the truth. If you're going to go through all that trouble, and those kids are going to go through all that trouble of playing hard like that, add one. That's all I'm asking. Just one. You add one to that mix, and then you're for real. You can start talking about what Jerry Palm's talking about, which is a 3 seed in the country. I mean, you add one. Add one. That's not,
yeah, you're right.
You know, and our kids, let me tell you this, Griff. Let's go through some of the numbers and then we'll go to the phones. Because here's the thing. We don't have anybody to put the ball in the hands at the end of a game. I mean, that's just, and look, Grant Williams today is fried at the end of that game. You could see it in his body language. And here's the thing that's tiring him out. He has to exert so much at his size to get shots off, even as strong as he is. When they're rotating, and Carolina threw some bodies at him today, Griff, he was dead tired at the end of that game. He left. I will not say a cross word about him because, truly, he needs help. That's all he needs. It's just a little bit of help. Am I wrong?
No, you're right, and they just didn't get it today with any 4 or 5 men consistently throughout the game. And you could see that Grant was tired. I was actually hoping they would go even more to him, him being as tired as he was, because such a threat inside, they couldn't really defend him, you know, one-on-one. And they didn't double, which was interesting to me, Tony. I don't know if you noticed this as well, but when he got the ball, they shaded towards him, but they didn't outright double and make him pick the ball out. So he was able to go to work, and just shots didn't fall at the end. And that's just the bottom line for Grant, but great effort on his part. High intensity level on the defensive side on his part. But, you know, we talked about this earlier in the week. You know, Carolina's got a lot of big bodies. I think they have six players over 6'8", and they were just shuffling bodies in to give support to wear Grant down, and it carried them through the game.
865-200-5402 if you want to get in with us. Let's go ahead and get to our next call. Griff, we'll get some numbers in here in a second, but let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. You're on the Garza Law, Tennessee basketball overtime. The Vols lose today in a gallant effort. They fall 78-73 to North Carolina, a game they led late.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, Tony, this is C-Note calling you. How are you doing today, my friend?
Doing great today, man. Really appreciate you taking some time for us. Give me your thoughts on what you saw.
Fantastic. Watched the game. I'm in Carolina. You know, Air Force guy. Grew up in Clinton, Tennessee. Traveled the world, but the heart belongs to East Tennessee. Hope to retire there eventually. But great game. Like I said, I live in live outside of Greenville, North Carolina. Around the ECU Pirates, but of course a lot of Tar Heels, Wolfpack, that type of thing around here. But Tennessee looked good. And my question, Tony, not so much on basketball, but the Tennessee, let's say, administration, culture, model in general. Are you seeing, Tony, that Tennessee is kind of making a turn towards we want excellence. We want to excel in excellence. I don't know if I see it as far as when you look at this, Tony, you look at what Pat Head Summit did once she retired. I'm kind of concerned about when the weeklies retire. Are we willing to go out there and put some money and continue that program? Not really. I think Jeremy Pruitt, fantastic hire, right? But we're looking at what? $3.8 million type of deal, that kind of thing. Do you see that Tennessee in the athletic department is maybe putting their money where their mouth is, or are we kind of maybe continually to get lucky? I think we got lucky. Johnny Majors came marching home. Phil Farmer was already there. Pat Summit was
Listen, I love you, and thanks for being in Greenville, but I can't. We're doing a basketball postgame show. God bless you. Call me during the week. We'll talk about that. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
What's up, Tony? It's JM.
Hey, JM.
Yeah, I'm worried about when the weeklies retire. I don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's really, after we had a great game with Carolina in our gym with a sold-out house where our kids just split their spleens, I think Williams lost about 15 pounds during the game. It was the Tennessee basketball is like back to life. And this is, I mean, God bless that guy. He's over in Greenville worried about the weeklies.
I got a good chuckle out of that. Now, I'm going to be a little bit negative, but first, just let me say the kids played their asses off. So I just want to get that out of the way first. But I just think, I knew how today's game was going to go. I knew with a home crowd that we would be able to build a little bit of a lead and kind of keep it between, you know, five or six and maybe low double digits at times. But then I knew that around the 4 or 5 minute mark that Carolina's players would make clutch plays and our guys wouldn't be able to. And it's because we don't have anybody really that we can get the ball to. We don't have a wing player. I mean, Jordan Bowden's our only wing, and I mean, what'd he have today, like 3 points? Or maybe a few free throws. I know he hit 1 3 in the second half, but I mean, he's just not, he's not a create guy. And, and Schofield, they kind of use him as a wing, but he's not. He's a more of a stretch four, bulky, you know, forward guy. And
you know what Schofield is? Schofield's a guy.
He's an awkward
Griff, let's talk about this. He's a nice player, okay? But he's a guy in a game like that, Griff, that can get lost on you. What do you think?
Yeah.
You're like skipping around. What happened to you, Griff? Where are you? You're like skipping around on me. What happened to you? You're in a bad cell area. But JM, to your point, and I like Schofield, but to your point, and Mark makes his point as well, we're that close to being like nationally relevant. That close. We have a nice team right now, but we could be.
If you had a four-star wing that could score,
but just one,
you'd
just
be a top
guy.
10 team.
You got it.
And that's the thing. And what they're forced to do is they have to get the ball down there to Williams because he's kind of the go-to guy. But then he's playing against guys that are taller than him. Then they start double teaming, and that's when he starts doing those. Just kind of heave it over the shoulder prayer shots, and then if he's able to pass out of it, you know, it's up to us to hit clutch threes. And it's not the player's fault. I mean, they're doing what they can do.
They played their asses off today, and he's coaching the hell out of them. You won't see a better coaching job than what Tennessee did today. But where you got to win a game like this is on the recruiting trail. That's all. People hate me saying that. They hate me saying that.
Because it implies that Barnes is not working hard on the recruiting trail, and it pisses people off when you say that.
And he's not working hard enough on the recruiting trail.
Hey, Kevin Smith, the guy that wrote Clerks, he had a big game today against us.
I didn't notice that. Kevin Smith, but I like it. Thank you.
The goatee guy. All right, Tony.
Thank you.
Later.
See, Griff, that's what's happening to me right now. All this stuff, the weeklies, all these things are like sliding over my head right now.
Can you hear me now?
I can, buddy. Yeah, you're in a much better area.
No, you were talking about Schofield.
Yeah.
And I think Kohler's right as far as, and you were talking as well, Tony, about position matchups, and there are some bad matchups because it's like, what is he? Where does he play? And then today, you know, he was playing a four-man at the end because Grant was playing your five, and there was just some matchup issues there for him. I love his effort. Kind of, I think he presses a little bit on his shot. He gets up really high on his shot, which is impressive, but it seems like he forces his shot a little bit too. It's just not a natural. Does his shot just doesn't look as natural as I've seen it before. I think he gets a little emotional, but I love his effort. But you got to knock shots down. And like y'all talked about earlier, Tony, you're right. We just need one top 100 player to get over the hump. I don't know when that's going to be, but looking at the team that was on the court today, very impressed with the defensive effort.
Yep.
And that defensive effort has got to remain steady for them to be able to fight the SEC against future opponents.
I'm going to tell you right now, and I can't speak for the kids that were there, but if those recruits, Griff, for football, did not walk out of that place just with their mind blown, Jay Billis today on that telecast said about five times, he said there's not three atmospheres in the country like this place.
Wow.
There's just not.
It was unbelievable. It was one of the loudest crowds we've heard in quite some time throughout the game. It wasn't just at the very end. I mean, people were standing up at the beginning. And, and like your caller mentioned, too, I did think that Tennessee would probably start off on fire, play off that emotion. But what I didn't expect, and I know we'll dive into it, but we'll touch on it now before a caller does, is, you know, when we were throwing the ball inbounds towards the end, I think it was 2 minutes left, and we throw it in the corner, and then Turner gets double teamed, and what does he do? Makes a turnover. He could have called a timeout, or someone could have called a timeout, but he threw the ball away, and it was a critical turnover. And I'm not, you know, looking at all the other turnovers they had, but it's just critical that we hang on to the ball at the end if they've got a chance to win that game, and we just can't have that in the game. You can't inbound the ball in the corner like that. You know you're going to get double teamed, especially against the well-coached Carolina team. You've got to be able to call timeout and get the ball in the middle of the court, period.
That was a key scenario, and Alex Myers is in here with me from Southeastern Sunday Night fame and also your Garza Law fifth quarter football fan reaction. A.M., before I get your thoughts on what we saw, and we'll unpack a lot of that as we go, but another thing that was really crucial in today's game was when Roy Williams comes out of that timeout and there's a lull, and they come out of that timeout with that pressure, and I mean we are just literally like aghast at it. Just throw the ball away.
Yeah, and it wasn't something that we had seen really throughout the game. It was kind of a surprise to me, and it obviously was a surprise to the players as well, as they came out and just immediately turned the ball over.
865-200-5402. So if there are two crucial plays, and then for them, you know, that dagger three that Williams hit off that Penson screen, and you know, Mark, Dave Nathan had told us that Penson comes in there as a five-star, highly recruited guy, and he's evolved into this glue guy that just does junk things for, he does everything for them. I mean, it would not surprise me if when they get off the bus later tonight, if he cleans the bus up for them. That kid does everything for them when you watch him.
He does everything, and it's interesting because we went, you know, last year to Hawaii, and he was injured when Carolina was playing in the tournament that we were able to watch North Carolina play in, and Penson was the cheerleader on the sidelines. He was bumping chests with the players. I mean, a lot of enthusiasm and just a real leader off the court. So I can only imagine that during practice and during game situations that he's also a leader on the court for this team. And regardless of what star rating he is, he plays such a fantastic role for this team. And that's what you see with Carolina now is, you know, they've got veterans, but not a lot of veteran experience. But yet they seem to just mold together, especially when crunch time comes and able to pull it out.
You know, Griff, and we're talking with Al here and a couple people on Twitter, those two little five-second nuggets of that game, especially that turnover there off the pressure, you could feel the air go out of that game when that happened. You heard the crowd, you could hear it through the TV, the lull. Oh, and then they get a bucket, and all of a sudden, it's a two-score game, and that thing just feels like it's over, right?
Well, what's ironic, last year, you know, Tennessee had the lead to the 38th minute. Well, this year it was to the third. I mean, even though Carolina had taken a lead during the game, but Tennessee was in control until the 37th minute. So it just goes to show you got to play a 40-minute game.
Yep.
You got to play 40. You can't sit there and harp on, well, we're up, you know, majority of the game for 37 minutes, but it's the last 4 minutes that really count, because that's when you got, you know, different guys in that finish games.
Yep.
And you've got to be able to finish. And we just weren't able to finish. But once again, I'm not discounting the effort of the team and how much they gain from this particular loss. It'll just be critical for them to move forward and learn a lot of positive things going into the Furman game and into SEC play down the road.
Can I get an amen on this, guys? Can we do another home-and-home with North Carolina?
Yeah, I was talking to some guys at lunch today before the game down at Stefano's, and you know, there's no reason if we can play Memphis. I know they're an in-state team, but if the fans, and I'm one of those ones that really calls for that Memphis rivalry to come back and be a yearly thing, Chapel Hill's closer than Memphis, is it not?
Hell yeah.
There's no reason we can't play them.
And let me tell you something. The reports I'm getting, and I knew this already, their fans are fun. Their fans are not like, dare I say, the mouth breathers from the north.
Look, Tony.
The knuckle draggers from the north.
Look, Tony, I was at the Florida game year before. I don't remember if it was last year, the year before. Been to Kentucky games, been to a lot of games in Thompson Bowling, and for a visiting team that has so much history as they did, most other fan bases like that are kind of in that echelon, if you will, are much more annoying. The only thing that I ever really got out of them was the whole Tar Heels thing, and two or three times that really got going, it was shut down pretty quickly. I mean, if that's all you got to annoy me, not that bad.
No, they have classy
fans. Yeah, they were not bad at all.
They have classy, and they always have. The fans you got to watch out for in that region are the Duke fans.
There's a guy with a Duke hat about three rows over from me today.
And they're disgusting. They're disgusting. Let's go to the phones.
Tony, he had a Carolina shirt on and a Duke hat.
He's a confused individual.
Yeah.
He's probably staring at my bald head right now. Let's get our phone next call in. Hello and welcome into our next caller.
Tony. On Tweet, what do you say, buddy?
Hey, Tweety, how was the game, brah?
We had a great time, good seats. You know, the atmosphere is fantastic. Some people so far I've listened to have come out of the game saying, oh, I'm really happy with the effort. I'm pissed. We should have won that basketball game.
Tell me about it. The numbers say Tennessee absolutely should have won that basketball game. Absolutely should have won the basketball game.
So end of the half, Rick, your boy Barnes is sitting over there with three timeouts, 4 seconds left on the shot clock, needs to get the ball in, and what do?
Hey,
let him figure it out.
Lamonte turnover, turnover.
I'm talking end of the first half.
End of the first half.
Lamonte turnover.
You know, here's the deal, though.
Call a timeout instead of play up?
Well, because it's just not his style. But his kids respond to the way he's coaching them.
Tony, you can't take them with you.
Understand that, but it's just he has since he's been here. That's not what he does. He just doesn't.
I kind of had a thread with like JM who called earlier and another guy one time, and I was kind of like, you think the first two seasons he would kind of just let him go just to try to get him some experience and let him to try to play through it because he figured he didn't have a tournament team anyway. But this year he's got more seasoned players, you know what I mean? And at least than he had the previous two, obviously. You know, I think the ball is so valuable in that game. You know what I mean? The possessions are so valuable. Why throw one away to just try to let them to play through? You know what I mean? Let me ask you guys something, or Cole Quitt or Tony, anybody here. When all year have you seen James Daniel inbound the basketball? He's one of your better ball handlers, is he not?
Yes, he is.
So why end of game is he the one inbounding the basketball to turnover, Lamonte turnover, who's one of your worst?
Mark, is that a practiced element, or is that just the first guy closest to the ball is going to inbound it? How would something like that work?
It's a great point. You're usually coached on who takes the ball out, and I think Carl makes a good point. The best ball handler should not be taking the ball out. Someone else should be taking the ball out.
Yeah, and Daniel's obviously – and Daniel had a special effort today. It's a shame to lose that game.
Great game.
Why doesn't he touch it more, guys? He gets his 14th point and basically disappears. He only shot the ball six times. Go ahead. Hang on a second. Go ahead. Alex wants to make
your point. I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. I don't think that's the guy you want to pass the ball into. But my only other thing was, if you're saying you should have switched him out and have Lamonte turnover as
– let's not call that kid that.
If you're going to have Lamonte if you're going to have Turner in there, do you want him in and out of the ball if he's turnover prone?
Although he did have 2 points and two turnovers today in 24 minutes. That's pretty close.
I don't know why he was on the floor in the first place or someone else.
Yeah, can I ask Mark something?
Yeah.
Mark, real quick. I'm sorry my voice is scratchy. I got a little fired up today at the arena. Mark, he played, I thought, a pretty good first half. He was part of the reason Barry got into foul trouble because he's just quicker than Barry.
Yep.
Barry couldn't stay in front of him without fouling. That's just all there is to it. Second half, though, he just kind of disappeared. And I know that Daniel had a really good second half, but it kind of baffled me a little bit that we just didn't see him at all, I'd say, past the 10-minute mark.
I was surprised at that as well, just to say that Bone wasn't out there, especially at the end of the game with Daniel, with other guards. I was just surprised that Turner was in the game at that critical time period, and not just because he had that crucial turnover. I was perplexing to see why Turner was in the game and Jordan Bone was not. I don't understand that one at all.
So Tweety, I like it. You walk out of there pissed. We should be pissed.
Yeah.
Hey,
Tony,
we did our part today. Our crowd, our people did our part today.
Hey, Tony, end of game, Rick Barnes is underwhelming at best. Underwhelming.
Oh, I don't know about that. His kids play really hard. I don't think that's fair.
They try, but that turnover with James Daniel inbound the ball to Turner came out of a play where they reviewed a three-pointer for about a minute and a half to 2 minutes.
They did.
That's how much time he had to set something up and get them set. Hey, this is what we're going to run out of the inbound. This is what we're going to do if they bring pressure. And you come out of it and that happens. Come on now. That's terrible.
Thank you.
He's garbage in the game. Be good, guys.
Thank you. I don't know if I'd say garbage at the end of the game. Now, I will say this. In the last 4 minutes, Mark, he got out-coached in his building. He probably admit that.
Yeah, I would agree in a sense where they put full court pressure. I think one of your callers mentioned that, where got a different look than what they were doing previously, and it seemed like Tennessee was not prepared. I don't know why you would not be prepared for full court pressure when you're winning a game. Right. You need to expect that, but it's like they came out not expecting full court pressure and didn't know what to do with it. Another thing, Tony, that I was surprised with talking about personnel is, I don't know if you saw this or your callers, but Fulkerson just got beat up.
Yeah.
As far as trying to get rebounds, and I know that there was a critical call that he got called fouling one of their big guys when it looked like the big guy went over Fulkerson's back. But he's got to box guys out. He's got to put a butt on somebody and have some strength and block guys out and get the ball. And then on offense, it was nowhere. It was not a threat at all offensively. So I don't know how many minutes he got. I know you'll go through the numbers. But when you're in the game, you've got to be effective, or put Derek in there, Walker, and see what he can do.
Yeah, Mark, Fulkerson played 14 minutes. And you actually kind of led me into a point I wanted to talk about tonight, which was the fact that in the first half, Kyle Alexander – everybody around me was talking about him. How well he was playing. He wasn't going to go out there and put up 30 points tonight, but he was hanging in there tough with the big guys from North Carolina. He was getting rebound after rebound, and a lot of those were turning into second-chance opportunities where he was laying the ball back up or dunking it. The second half, you didn't see him. He kind of like Boney, just kind of disappeared, and instead Fulkerson got those minutes. And
he sure
did. Fulkerson ends up with 2 points on two attempts tonight and two rebounds. Four rebounds. But here's my thing. Fulkerson is a good player. I think he can be a good player here. But right now, whether it's from his injury, whether it's not, he's not totally back yet. It's just the point. But when you've got a guy like Williams who isn't as big, but boy, he's stronger than those North Carolina games. He can get to his spot quickly. Fulkerson, I didn't see the advantage he had over any of those North Carolina guys. He's not bigger than him. He's not stronger than him. He's not quicker than him. And he's not more athletic than him. And so, to Mark's point, he was getting out-rebounded down the stretch. He wasn't in position to get the rebounds to begin with. And I just don't get why he was in there so much. And a guy like Kyle Alexander, who had a lot of success in the first half, would just disappeared.
And the other thing that the other thing that's troubling to me, and Todd Coffey, who's listened to us, just made a great point. Why is Bone not on the floor at the end of the game? Why?
Well, we talked about it. We talked about it briefly. Why isn't he in the game instead of Lamonte Turner? And Bone had, I think, 2 turnovers first half. Not a big deal. And yes, I think he did a great job on Barry. And then the second half may not have done as much at the beginning of the game, but you got to look at who's going to be there at the end of the game. Who do you want on the floor? Well, I want Bone on the floor at the end of the game for ball handling purposes. I want him on the floor, period.
And that's so easy. That's elementary. It's like, we're going to play and we're going to get to this point. Last 4 minutes, and I hope they learn from this. I'm going to look over at my bench and I'm going to go, okay, who's in here and who's not and who belongs? Look, if Fulkerson has 18 points and you want to leave him on the floor in the last 4 minutes, cool. And who gets Bones minutes at the end?
Turner.
If Turner has the game he had against Purdue, and you want him in there at the end because he's shooting the J, fine. I got no problem with that. But Bone was dominating that basketball game, and he walks out of there with only 9 field goal attempts. It doesn't make any sense.
And he was wearing out Barry in the first half.
He was killing him.
Barry couldn't stay in front of him defensively.
No, Barry couldn't check him.
And here's the thing about guys, not just Turner specifically, I don't want to single him out, but guys like Turner who are such streaky shooters and they can get really hot in a hurry. But a lot of times those guys, if they don't have it early, they don't have it. And he ends up with 2 points. Let me see. Turner went 1 of 8, 0 for 5 from three-point land. At a certain point, you just got to realize it's not your day.
Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. I do want to remind the living listener, tomorrow we're going to have a full unpacking of this Austin Thomas thing that is unfolding in real time. Orange Throat's on it. I'm on it. We've made several phone calls. We'll have some interesting stuff for you tomorrow at TonyBasilio.com, along with a look back at this game, which I think this game signals to you, the common fan, that Tennessee basketball is back, and it is a force to be reckoned with. Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. You're on the Garza Law 5th Quarter Fan Reaction.
What up, TV?
Hey, welcome in.
TNT here, man. Two things happened tonight. Took my daughter to her first basketball game, and she's a UT fan for life.
Wow, that's a doozy. That is an absolute doozy.
Number two, I'm a North Carolina hater all the way. There's going to be a lot of lone wolves that's going to talk bad about Barnes. I'm not. He's got my back, and he's got 20,000 people back in that arena tonight. Barnes was all over the officials. My thing is, and I'm a fan, I can say this. I don't have to look at X's and O's and why this didn't go this way. That was the worst officiating call game I've ever seen in my life.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to give Barnes kudos. Barnes was on the court jogging those officials, and it didn't help none.
No, you couldn't be more wrong, and I love you to death. First of all, I think it's awesome you took your daughter to that game. That was a tremendous ticket, and you must have a tremendous love for your daughter to take her. Now, let me say this to you, and I want everybody's thoughts. I'm going to ask you, Alex, and Griff as well. But those officials, the way they called that game, really let Tennessee stay in that game because they let us hand check, clutch, and grab the whole game, which is a perfect formula in that building, in that environment, with that crowd. It's a perfect formula for staying in that game. Griff first, then Alex.
Well, I tend to agree more with the caller, Tony, as far as the refs.
Thank you.
Now, I do think that you can't rely on the refs, but I do think it seems to me, in my opinion, you got two styles of referee in the first half, which I didn't have as big a problem. The second half, when the game was really on the line, I had more of a problem of the calls based on what I witnessed and calls that didn't go Tennessee's way. So did it cost us the game? I mean, I would never want to blame a ref for cost us the game because you got to play through that. Did it not help? It didn't help. But Tennessee's got to take advantage of situations, and they got to take care of the ball and get the right people in the game. I have a bigger issue with that than I do with the guys in stripes.
Hang on, Alex. Alex, what did you witness? And then TNT, I'll let you finish. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You're
Alex.
Good. I didn't think the refs were great. Certainly, but I've seen a lot worse. I think one thing that kind of summed it up to me was two things. One, there was a couple calls they went to review, and either it is or it isn't. I mean, what are you looking? You're not putting a math equation. You know, it either went off the Schofield's hand or it went off the other guy's hand, or it's either his foot was on the line and it's a 2-pointer or it's not. Take 60 seconds and then you're done. And then there was a play late. It may have been one of Tennessee's last baskets when Williams drove down the right side. Luke May was nothing egregious, but he was kind of riding into his hip, I guess, if you would, as he went in for the layup. Williams powered through it. Give him credit. He made the shot. The very next possession down the court, Joel Berry comes running down the court and gets just barely nudged, and then boop. There's the whistle. Two shots, and they're in the double-double. To me, the referees, I'm kind of in between where you and the caller are, Tony. I don't think they were awful. And I do think that early on, I noticed that, I think it was Daniel, that was... He was getting up into Barry, and there was a couple of times when I thought they could have easily called a hand check.
Yeah, I like it, by the way.
So I'll give you that. But yeah. I also think there were several times where they got a little too touchy on the North Carolina side.
I guess my point, Mark, is that style of play, the way they let the kids play tonight, I think it behooves Tennessee to get that kind of whistle throughout the year when you play a team like that. That's the only point I'm making. As for calls, I mean, yeah, there were some bad calls there, but – I mean, Adams is on the floor. You're going to get bad calls.
I'll hang up. I know you got plenty of callers and love you. So I just felt like, I think it was Alex mentioned, we're not building a Rolex watch, dude. The ball come off the guy's hand, off Schofield. You don't spend a minute and a half there. And then all night we're trying to go into Williams, and he's not drawing any fouls on him, as strong as he is. Come on, man. And as far as the three-point shooting, the rock just wasn't dropping tonight, period. That rim wasn't good to them. If we'd hit those that we would in and out tonight, we'd probably run away with this game. Guys, love your show, and I'll hang up listening.
865-200-5402. Let's look at some of these numbers here. Tennessee, after a strong shooting second half, ends with 37% from the field. Carolina shoots the ball really well on the road at 43%. Tennessee, 25 of 67. Carolina, 29 of 67. The Vols 36%, 9 of 25, which anytime Tennessee shoots in the mid-20s of three-pointers, that's too many, guys. I mean, we've seen that. They're going to lose that game. I don't know what the numbers say, but when they shoot 25 three-balls, what do you think the chances have to diminish of them being able to win a basketball game?
Yeah, especially when you have so much success going inside. But Tennessee can get hot. We've seen it several times down in the Bahamas earlier in the year, but when you're not, you're not. And you got to realize that at a certain point, and you can't continue just to jack them up the entire game if you're not on.
Griff, when they shoot too many threes, and this goes back, I'm talking about the Pearl era, the Conzo era, Donnie Tindall's year, and this thing here, and Schofield, somebody's asking about, he shot six of them, but he made two, which is an okay number, but still. And there was one late that he took where you would look at it and go, you know, that's really a bad shot. But for him, it was an open three. It wasn't like a forced three. Griff, your thoughts on when we shoot 25 three balls, we're just not winning games.
No, I don't think it's a good look for Tennessee to have to rely on shooting 20-something plus three-pointers to win a game. Now, I also look at when you're taking them. I mean, if you're taking early offense, I have more of a problem. If it gets late in the offense, and you've got an open shot, or if you got an open shot early offense, for sure, anytime you have an open shot, but not early offense, just jacking up a shot because it just kills your momentum. If you're running your plays, you've got guys going through the lane, especially if you get the ball inside and pop it out, then that's a good opportunity for a three-pointer. But if they're going to shoot 20-plus, it may be a long night because, you know, like Alex said, we've got to get the ball inside. And even though nobody else really stepped up inside, you just got to keep – cramming it to Williams, and if he's tired, then get him some oxygen because he's all you got. You know, tonight we just got to keep feeding him the ball regardless and hopefully get some calls at the end of the game.
865-200-5402. Other numbers in the game. Carolina turns the ball over 16 times. Many of them were in the first half. In fact, they had 13 before the break, guys, and they end up with only 16 for the game. So they tightened up what they were doing in the second half, which was one of the reasons why they got out of there with a victory.
Well, another thing, too, Tony, I mentioned this on the three-pointers for the week. One of the best teams you'll see in transition basketball is Carolina, and that's one thing when Tennessee was scoring the first half, took away these transitions because it's hard to get the ball out of the basket and move the ball down the court. But when Tennessee was missing more in the second half and shot worse in the second half, you could see Carolina blitz the ball down the court. And when they're doing that, it's really hard to turn the ball over because they're getting early offense layups or good shots inside.
865-200-5402, if you want to get in with us again, 865-200-5402. Other numbers that kind of jump out at you, Carolina had 17 assists in a game, the Tennessee's 11. Tennessee led that basketball game 37 minutes and 10 seconds and still loses. And that just makes you want to just hurl violently on Coach East Drive. Let's go to the phones. And we'll get our next call in. If you want to get in with us tonight, 865-200-5402, 865-200-5402, one line currently available, and it'll be gone shortly. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tone, good evening. Thanks for being there.
Hey, thank you for being there on the Garza Law Tennessee Basketball Overtime.
Yeah, man, hey, this is Jeff and Blaine, but
hey, Jeff.
I wanted to make a couple comments. I think we could dissect this game. Fortunately, your show's a great platform for that, so I'll keep it short. But a couple of things that was noteworthy. I was there at the game. Credit the fans. It was electric. You guys were right on it. I mean, it's the first time since the Bruce Pearl era, and it really showed out for the guys, the recruits and whatnot that were there. The other thing I wanted to note, you know, in the open, you made the comment that you weren't going to blame this on Schofield. You won't, but I will. Because here's the deal. You got to stay in your lane if you're Schofield. I think as this, as your program has sort of developed, I think I see that it's actually kind of coming around. And there's been some good commentary on his play, both good, both bad. But, you know, yes, he did make a really good gutsy, gritty, you know, glue type play there at the end to get the ball back. I think it was like right at a minute or just a little over a minute or something. But at the same time, you know, you can't take that leaner, off balance, well defended shot, unless Barnes said, he could take it. That's my caveat there, is that if Barnes in that timeout said, you know what, if you've got a shot, Schofield, take it. But, I mean, what are the odds that Barnes is saying that to Schofield? I think it should have been in Daniel's hands. The previous caller, I think, tweet said, why is he taking the ball out? On several crucial plays, I'm thinking, what is he doing? That's the guy that needs to be shooting this ball with 3 seconds to go on the shot clock. And so, but at the end of the day, and I'll get off here, just want to credit the whole team and the fans, because, I mean, yes, it sucked that we lost, but at the same time, they showed up and they played well against the top 10 team. Great show, Tom.
Hey, thank you. I have trouble blaming a game on any one player anytime. Second thing, Schofield, he didn't shoot the ball well tonight, but, man, he played hard. He played hard on the defensive end. I mean, his level of effort was there for me.
Yeah, Schofield, there's only one guy in the entire game that played more minutes than him. Three guys with 26, one guy with 27. Schofield was one of the guys with 26.
Yes. And,
you know, I'm like you. This gloss is not on Schofield at all. He took a bad shot late, and I'll be right the first one to say it. There was four guys on the court who I'd rather have take that shot than him.
Yeah.
You know, that's a fact. This game is not on him, though. He hustled all game, and there's many times where he made plays that kind of kept us in it. One of those was when he went over and complained to the official after he'd hustled over and knocked the ball off the North Carolina game that gave us an extra possession at the end of towards the end of the game. So it's not on him. Certainly, though, that was an ill-advised shot. You had more time, and there's just, like I said, in that particular play, there was four other guys who should have taken that shot before he did.
Barnes said a game like this in December is not going to define us, win or lose.
No.
He said, I love our fans. Tennessee fans love their basketball. They deserve a good basketball team. Actually, they deserve a great basketball team.
We deserve a win.
Yeah, we deserve to win.
So I'm not pleased I'm pleased with the effort, but I'm disappointed with the loss. We talked, you know, earlier caller mentioned about, we were talking about Lamonte Turner with the 4 seconds, should they call a timeout? I mean, I don't really think that you have to call a timeout, but you have to know what you're going to do. When you do get the ball on the sideline, you go through it during practice. And what did Lamonte Turner do? He had 4 seconds and drove the basket. He could have shot it. He should have shot it, but he tries to throw it to Grant Williams. That's a bonehead play.
Yeah.
When he has a shot that he can take, and I'm not blaming the loss on Turner, but I am going to be hard on him, because you got to be smarter than that. He's been in the program long enough to know that you got to take leadership. Take your shots when it's a good shot. And he could have had a pretty good shot in the lane when he threw it, tried to make an attempt to throw it to Grant Williams. And then that crucial turnover in the end of the second half is just uncalled for.
865-200-5402. I love the passion of the great Mark Griffin. I love, 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 love the passion that the great Mark Griffin is showing. 865-200-5402. And I do want to add that you can read Mark Griffin's three-pointers and stuff from Alex Myers as well on our free blog at tonybasilio.com. We'll have a bunch of stuff on tonight's game, some observations, and then also on this whole Austin Thomas situation and how that thing unraveled. And let me just say this about the Austin Thomas situation, give you a little sneak preview. People are going to want to blame folks for this, and that's okay. Because people are making a lot of money that are involved in this. But sometimes there are no good guys and there are no bad guys. And sometimes, as the great Dave Mason said, there's only you and me and we just disagree. We'll explain it. Let's go back to our phones. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
What's going on, Tony? Thanks for being there tonight.
Hey, appreciate you being there. Thank you.
Hey, listen up. Great game, man. Walking out and these two older guys, I'd say middle 60s, something like that, was talking to me on the way out. They was Carolina fans, and they was blown away. Said they never been to an arena like that. They said they follow Tar Heels everywhere. Said couldn't believe we was picked 13th, one of the better teams that they've seen this year. And I just thought it was awesome. But just want to holler at you.
Hey, you know what? Hey, I love your observations. Give me a sec. I'll tell you this. I want to see us play Carolina again. I love that.
We'll beat them.
I mean, not just the beating them or not beating them or whatever.
Oh, a series.
No, let's do it again. They said the same thing? That's awesome.
Yes, he said this needs to be every year. He said home and away, every year.
Every year. Mark, I say we need to. I say you and Lynn, you and you guys need to make this happen, Griff. You and your lovely.
Well, I'd love to because I'm driving home now, and my wife's just smiling at me because she's so happy that Carolina won. So it would be nice. I'd love to see us play them in a tournament. I mean, you know, if we start thinking in March now, in which I know it's early, it's December. There are a lot of things that happen between now and March, but you know, we've shown we can play the big boys, the Villanovas of the world, beating Purdue's of the world that are going to be in the tournament. Carolina is, you know, seventh now. They may move up depending on how other teams fare. But this is a team that, you know, we're going to be following Carolina throughout the season to see how they do in the ACC. It shows how far this program's come under Coach Barnes in the third year. There's some exciting things ahead for this Tennessee program as long as they keep playing with high intensity and the defensive level that they have. And the crowd, once again, can't, you know, overstay how proud I am of the fans that showed up today, and including that, Tony, which we've got to give a big shout-out to, is the student section, full, raring, and right behind and the kids that stood behind the goal the whole night, the whole afternoon were just on fire, and a lot of activity.
Hey,
it was fantastic.
I got something on the student section. Maybe y'all can answer. Why in the world is our student section not behind North Carolina's goal in the second half? Are we the only team in college that has them on our end in the second half?
What a great observation, man.
I mean, that makes no sense to me.
What a great observation.
Makes no sense. I mean, it's been like that since Bruce Pearl did it. Bruce Pearl's the one that put them behind our goal. And I don't understand that. We've got them behind our goal in the second half. They're not loud down there on defense like they are in the first half. It's crazy. Y'all have a good night.
Tennessee gets 6 points in the last 8:20. And still almost got out of there with a win, Griff.
You know, Mark, I thought when I was told Tony when I first got here, I thought one of the big things for Tennessee and their deficiencies was the fact that you had two really, really good basketball players on the court out there. Joel Berry, obviously, and then Grant Williams for Tennessee.
Oh, Griff just got detonated himself. That scared the living hell out of me.
Well, what I was saying, though, is
I've had a jolt of energy go through my body, the likes of which hasn't happened in years. I'm more alive right now than I've been in a long time, but go ahead. Griff's back with us. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mark, I was just saying that you had two really good players out there, and as I mentioned earlier, I thought we had worn Joel Berry down late in the first half. I thought he looked gassed, along with a lot of other Tar Heels. The difference is in the second half, when we really had to rely on Grant Williams, and he came through for us many a times, but when he had to rely on him time after time after time, the difference is, when you look at North Carolina, Joel Berry came through as Williams did, but he wasn't required to do it nearly as often in the second half. And so he was there late, and he was energetic late, and he wasn't quite so worn down. And to me, that's where you look at these two rosters and you go, Williams is a playmaker. He can go get you a bucket. Berry is too. But then you look on Carolina, and they just got more of those horses that can pull you through at the end of the game than we do.
No, you're right. Very good point. And looking at the big shot that Carolina hit was Kenny Williams. And if you recall last year versus Tennessee, Kenny Williams was their top scorer, 12 points per game. So you've got guys that have had big games for Carolina as well. Tony mentioned this from the very beginning. They played environments like this. I think it's very rare that they played in such a raucous crowd that they played today, though. But they played in front of sellout crowds. They're used to it. They handle adversity, and I think you're right. I mean, as far as Joel Berry, that he was worn down the first half. You know, he had two fouls, had to sit out a little bit. I was even surprised he was sitting the bench as long as he was, and then realized he had two fouls. But just a big time playmaker. Can't say enough for Joel Berry. I mean, he's going to be a first team All American this season. Going to be a pro, as just had tons of experience for this Carolina team over the years. So a great win for Carolina. I mean, let's give them credit as well. Great effort for Tennessee, but I still think one player away may have been a difference. And what I mean by one player, I'm not talking about someone not on the roster. I'm talking about someone that was playing either a Kyle Alexander playing more in the second half or even Walker or especially a Jordan Bone.
Kyle Alexander with a weird line today. Only plays 19 minutes in the game.
And I'd say 15 of those probably.
And he played 15 in the first half, and he disappeared in the second half. It's a really strange line. Yes? Am I the only one that thinks that's strange?
No, because
he just played 4 minutes in the second half when he didn't foul out. He wasn't in foul trouble.
No.
Great matchup against their big guys. I don't think he turned the ball over. You haven't gone over individual stats yet, detail.
No.
He didn't hurt the Tennessee team. He actually uplifted them in the very beginning of the game when I remember one offensive rebound that he got and went and powered up for a dunk. And that got the crowd really going. So I thought Powell played really well.
No, he had zero turnovers. He played 19 minutes, as we mentioned. He only had two fouls, and there was five guys for the Vols who had four fouls. So he was one of the rare guys down low that wasn't in foul trouble. And like I said,
weird.
You know, it's not like
is he sick maybe?
Well, you know, that's what was so, you know, it was so weird to me why Fulkerson was getting so many minutes late. Not only was he not doing a lot, but you had a viable option on the bench who not only did you know could play well, but he had played very well in the first half, and you just went away from him. And it wasn't like he started turning the ball over and you were punishing him. I don't get it. I don't know why he wasn't out there.
Yeah.
Another thing, too, when you look at Carolina, they're one of the top rebounding teams in the country at plus 13.8, I believe, or 13.9. It may be top three in the country as far as differential. And you've got a guy like Alexander that can rebound. Would you rather him being rebounding or Fulkerson, the way Fulkerson was playing? I'd rather have Alexander in there today.
I want to say one word before we do anything else. This place is so special and so unique and so amazing. You guys were in there for that, and I'm jealous because this is a bad experience. That crowd singing that national anthem together, the way that happened today.
Got chills.
Whew. Yeah, chills.
Whew. Let's go to the phones. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. You're on the Garza Law, Tennessee basketball overtime. Hello and welcome in.
Is it me?
That is you. Go right ahead.
All right. I love how hard this team plays. I do have problems with Barnes's recruiting and his roster management. One of the other things I saw in the last couple of days, though, the last couple of games, I mean, is Jordan Bowden shoots 59% from three. And we do not seem to run plays to get him open to shoot those shots. A lot of times you see him running around without real purpose on his cuts or anything else. I was wondering if Mark had any insight on that.
Mark?
I think you bring up a really good point. I mean, if you've got a star player as far as being able to shoot a three-pointer, or if you've got isolation, matchup inside, you take advantage of that. And you're right. I mean, it seemed like today, I mean, they were running their offense, but they didn't seem to get away and run special plays. You even call them special plays for matchups. It just seemed like they were trying to score off their offense, which is fine because that's what you go over in practice. I'm sure they saw something in scouting. But at the same time, I think the caller makes a great point that let's say you go through the first 15 seconds of your offense and you don't get anything in early offense. Then you can run a special play for Bowden, maybe get a double screen where he can flare, which means he just kind of fades away for a three-point shot. Make sure he goes straight up when he shoots the ball, but he fades to catch the ball. Didn't see any specialty plays that I could think of, Tony. Maybe you guys saw something that I didn't.
No, and to your point, and to the
caller, you got to do that.
Well, and to the caller's point, Bowden's line today, he finishes with 12 points. He's 3 of 7 for the field. He's 2 of 3 from three-point land. I mean, look, if you're going to shoot 25 in a game, run 3 or 4 or 5 for him. I mean, if you're going to shoot 25 in a game, Tennessee has no business with their roster shooting 25 three balls, especially in a game like that. They just don't. And it's a miracle they even have a chance to win a game when they've wasted that many possessions. That's my observation. I hate 25 three-pointers. I call that stupid basketball.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. Anyway, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on the air. Thanks for the coaching search being on the air, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much. We listen to you a lot up here in Virginia.
Love you, man. Thank you for being there. And we're here to serve, brother. And the great Mark Griffin is joining us. as he will all year, and just a shame Tennessee. They did a lot of things right today, but they had that cold stretch. They last 8-20, and they had a 1-for-11 slump there at the end of the game. They had a 9-point lead at one point in this game. You knew, though, early on when it was 9, you knew that wasn't going to last.
Well, it just, you know, it kind of reminded me when at halftime I was talking to the guy, one of the guys I was went to the game with, and yeah. I went, you know, this feels a lot like last year, and they agreed. But then I said the difference was we were up by a lot more at this point last year than we are in this game. And, Mark, I was wanting to ask you something about mid-game. I said, I'm going to ask Mark this because you know a lot more about this than I would. When Tennessee's running some of their motion offense, I noticed today in particular that they would be running their motion offense, but then at the end of it, what it came down to was one person who had the ball, and there was one other person moving, and a lot of times there's look like three other guys just standing around. Do you not think that the guys who are off the ball, besides the one guy, don't they have to be moving around a little bit more because it got just so stagnant looking?
Yes, and I think some of that, not to make excuse for the players at all, is sometimes fatigue comes into play because you shouldn't run an offense, and I'm sure they didn't intend to run any offense where they have guys standing. And if they do, then that means guys aren't in the right spot. So you could have a combination where guys aren't in the right spot, or there could be some fatigue, which they should have had substitutions, or you should have, you need to, in any place, have five guys moving, or at least three guys moving, and maybe one or two looking to set screens, one on the ball and one off the ball. But you can't have three guys just standing there at all because, like you just mentioned, that gives the defense a chance to rest, and they can more or less play other guys that are close to them and help double team instead of just playing man-on-man. And that gets rid of our mismatches as well and takes away any competitive advantage that Tennessee offense may have.
One other thought for you about special things for today's game. What do you guys think of the checkerboarding? Because it seems like any time we get checkerboarded, or we checkerboard, we get checkerboarded. And those of you who are hockey fans, and I've got my Tennessee jersey on for this reason, every time we checkerboard, we get checkerboarded. Somebody is grinding us right into the boards, and we're walking out of there like literally concussed.
I liked it, Tony. I thought it looked really good in the arena. I love seeing the arena packed and with enthusiastic fans. I think the fans got a kick out of the checkerboard. I don't really look at wins or losses versus a checkerboard or arena or a football field. I just think that we got beat by a better team today, and it's just unfortunate because we could have been the better team today for 40 minutes than we were for 37, which just doesn't count.
Young Alex, what do you say?
I don't have a problem with it. I don't know the exact number, but I'm well aware that
we're one
of five. Checkerboard. I was gonna say I'm well aware that it's not good. But I think, you know, when you look at it in the scheme of things, did that make a difference? Is that between us winning and losing? No.
Browns need to checkerboard.
Did it make a difference when Jay Billis, as you said, I didn't listen to the broadcast. I was there, but you said was talking about how good the environment was. I'm sure it did in his eyes. I'm sure it made it look on a national scale, if somebody's watching this game, like they're really into basketball there, and it helped them to other fan bases to realize how much we care about basketball. And I'm sure it does nothing to hurt. I don't mind it. I care less about, obviously, I don't want to say I care less about the wins and losses. I do, but as far as it goes to the ratio of wins and losses when we checkerboard, to me, that's for nothing.
Because you're only going to do it for games that are,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
tall,
and that's
tasks.
The thing, too. You're not, like you said, Tony, you're not doing that against ETSU. You're doing it against games that, like today, a team that's better than you that you think you can get at home, like an Oklahoma was a few years ago. I know somebody made that point. But you're doing it against big-time games.
Oh, back to the phones we go. Today's game so painful on so many levels. On a day where it looks like Austin Thomas has slipped through the grasp of Tennessee in such a Tennessee way. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate you being there. Thank you. On the Garza Law Tennessee Basketball Overtime.
Yes, sir. I just put this season into perspective this far, guys. I mean, when you think about, what was it, preseason pick, 13th. Finished 13th in the SEC. If you'd have told me in the beginning of the season, you know, we would be 7-2 right now with our two losses, Villanova and North Carolina. and they played ball. I mean, it wasn't like we got blowed out in either game. I'd take it. And I think that, you know, coming into SEC play here, I think we're going to be contending. There's not a doubt in my mind. I agree with everything that's been said thus far. A few coaching decisions, you know, and Roy Williams put the press on there, you know, late in the second half when we throwed it away. I mean, what about a timeout? Why you got the ball picked up? And I'm like you guys, I don't put it on Admiral. And I don't put it over the turnover either there at the end of the game. I mean, you really can't say that it was any one player's fault. I think North Carolina's been in those positions a little bit more than us, and they were the better team tonight. But, Tony, I heard you say earlier, too, talking about the checkerboard. I think we've won one game since we've been doing that. Jay Billis and them said I got to watch it at home. I didn't get to make it to the game, but they actually done like a 30-second segment on it, showed how they were going to checkerboard it. I think when you're doing things like that at home, I think it's more of an intimidating factor to show that the odds are stacked against you when it comes to the stands. You don't see a lot of your color up there. I mean, obviously, if you're wearing white, you're going to blend in with it depending on what section. But I think it's just an intimidating factor when you look at it as an opponent. But we've won one game, I think it is, since we've been doing checkerboard.
Yeah, I think we're 1-5. I think the number is 1-5 or 1-4, 1-5.
I believe that's right.
Pretty good number.
I don't know. But like you say, Alex, I think it was, you know, we're not playing ETSU or teams like that when we're checkerboarding. It's bigger opponents, so it's kind of deceiving on the wins and the losses, I guess. But I would take the wins over checkerboarding any time, but I don't really know how you decipher that. But I appreciate you guys. I appreciate the support, like the last caller said, in the coaches' search, and I appreciate it. All the times I watch you guys,
We're here for you. We're having a live X cast on Monday night with X and Doc Sinclair. We'll talk through that Austin Thomas deal that's going on in real time. We'll talk through this recruiting weekend that's going on in real time, and there were a ton of those guys at the game. We are here to serve the living fan and here to be with the living fan. Thank you, my friend. Great talking to you.
Thanks, bud.
865-200-5402. Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in on the Garza Law Tennessee basketball overtime. Hello and welcome into our next caller.
Hey, Tony, it's Chad in Houston. How are you?
Hey, Chad, appreciate you being there. Appreciate you being in Houston.
Hey, I'll tell you what, it's actually, today was a pretty good, I know we got beat, but we got up 9 points there in the second half, and you just knew that Carolina was going to make a run. And, you know, I called my dad on the phone and told him, I says, we better be up 8 or 9 points under 2 minutes to go because they're going to outscore us the last 2 minutes. But, you know, coming down, Schofield taking that shot under a minute to go, you know, we can't put, you know, obviously I heard the caller say we can't put that on him, but, you know, I put that on our guard play and our leadership on the guard play on this team, which is, to me, is the biggest gap. Keeping us from making that next step, because our guards have got to take charge in get big games like this, especially when it gets under 2 minutes, and make sure you get the ball in the right person's hands to take the right shot. And I think Schofield is probably the last person, the only person on the court who probably shouldn't have been shooting the ball less than a minute. But that's you know, this team, they play hard, they're fun to watch, and, you know, barring any injuries, you know, I definitely should make the NCAA tournament.
No question.
Definitely should get a pretty high seed, in my opinion, because I'll tell you what, this team, we're going to beat Kentucky once, if not twice this year. That Kentucky team is not that good, you know. And, I think this is going to be a pretty dang good year. But like I said, we got to get better leadership on the court from our guard play, because Barnes can't do it all from the sideline. You know, your point guard, your two guard has got to be the coach on the court. And they've got to go get that ball in those inbounds plays when Carolina's came out in a full-court press. They've got to take charge. And if they don't, then we're not going to be able to make that next step this year like I'm hoping we can. So what's your thoughts on that leadership, Tony?
Well, I love it. But here's what puzzles me about this whole Barnes era. And I hope I'm not. I don't continue to stay mystified. But, Mark, there's a guy in your neck of the woods, Darius Garland, who's committed to Vanderbilt. And we never even really got involved with him. Does that make any
sense? They tried to get involved with him. But that's the problem.
It doesn't make any sense. That just does not compute with me. We had 21,000 people in our building today. This is real. Rick Barnes said after the game today, how did he put it? Our fans deserve good basketball. No. They deserve great basketball.
Tony, I never tell you the story about when I went to the state tournament last year.
Tell the story. I mean, that's the thing. I'm not going to blame the kids on the court.
Well, I think it was this past year, and everybody knows there's some Tennessee's not the most talented state for basketball, but there's some top end talent in this state, and one of those guys is a heck of a basketball player. Mark, you might know the name, for whatever reason it's escaping me. He plays for I think it's Memphis East, the point guard.
James Wiseman. Oh, the point guard. Okay, my bad. I thought it was about James Wiseman.
Maybe it's not Memphis East.
Wiseman, who just transferred in, but go ahead. Anyway.
Yeah, anyways, it's a guy, and he's like been up for Mr. Basketball like 3 years in a row. Anyways, so I'll walk in down there.
Lomax.
Yeah, thanks. Alex Lomax. Anyway, so I'm walking in. Oak Ridge is going to play here in about an hour and a half, so me and some guys are walking in, and we're going to gonna broadcast the game. So we're walking in down to the bottom, and I just hold the door open because I see some guys in blue, and they're just walking towards me. And lo and behold, I end up opening the door, and when he gets closer, I realize who it is. Tubby Smith, Tony. I'm over there holding the door for Tubby Smith, and I walk in, and we do the game and leave, and then we found out that Rick Barnes was not at the tournament. Did we have any assistants at the tournament?
That'd be negative.
And it's just kind of like one of those things. Well, Lomax may never come to the eastern side of the state, okay? But you got to be there representing, don't you? I mean, there's so much talent in Memphis.
It's ridiculous.
And there's more talent in Nashville than there has been in the past. And they're all kind of getting together in the mid-state of Murfreesboro. And you got to be there.
It's just...
And guess where Lomax is going? Wichita State.
Damn it. I mean, that's the point. And could we use him?
Yeah.
I mean, hell. Yeah. And that's to the caller. Look, if you want to get on the kids and talk about leadership and being an extension, a coach has to go get people who can be an extension to him on the court. You can only do what your physical abilities call for you to do. I sit around and play guitar all the time, okay? And I'm never going to be Eddie Van Halen, brother. I'm not. I don't have that God-given ability. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Tony. But leadership's understanding the game, and it's been a voice on the court.
Got it.
Sure. Leadership's all kinds of different things.
Sure.
And some of your worst guys on the team sometimes end up being your best leaders. You know, we just need somebody to recognize situations, take charge on the court,
yep,
and tell people what positions they need to be in. They need to be the quarterback on the court. And that's the one thing that's lacking from this basketball team.
No question. And you can go get those guys, but you got to go get them. And I appreciate the call. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Tony.
And that's what you get with the Joel Berry griff at the end. I mean, that guy's not my speed, and I think he's kind of overrated, even in the game of college basketball. But Griff, at the end of that game, he basically took the game over from the four-minute mark on. What the kid at Xavier did yesterday to poor Steve Forbes. That blew it kid just said, well, you guys had the lead, but you blew it, and I'm taking the game from you.
I love Barry personally. I've watched him many, many times, and I think he's just a fantastic player, fantastic leader on and off the court. But you're right. You knew at the end that Carolina was going to make a run. But great teams do that. It's just what you do to counteract those runs. What do you have in place? What do you have during a timeout? What do you have as far as a specialty play to call? Or what do you have to get Grant Williams the ball inside if they're not doubling them? And then sometimes shots just don't fall. And unfortunately for Grant, some of his shots didn't foul. Now, did he get fouled on some of them? I mean, you could say, yeah, he got fouled, but he didn't get fouled hard enough to go to the line. But getting back to Barry, just a great leader. And it'd be interesting to see how Tennessee would fare if they had Barry on his team and just see where they would be. But talking about leadership tonight, if we talk about leadership, we got to talk about Daniel. I mean, the guy just played a fantastic game, and someone that I don't understand why he wasn't double figures as far as shooting the ball, because it seemed like every time he shot the ball when I was watching, it went in. So when balls are going in, you want to get that ball to the guy that's hot and make plays for him, or create plays for him so he could go out and make something happen. And how many shots did he take? You haven't gone on the individual stats.
Let's go through some individual stats here, Griff. But before we do, on Daniel, how many minutes do you think he played? Off top 22. Of your head. How many?
22.
Played 20. That's just not acceptable. I mean, for a guy that's got 14, here's his line. He's 4-6 from the field. He's 4-6 from three-point land. He's perfect from the line. He's got 2 boards and 3 assists. Now, he did have 4 personal fouls, which limited his minutes.
I think that's a little deceiving because he played almost the entire second half. Where he didn't play was in the first half. And so I think I don't think the foul trouble held him back as much as maybe it did a guy, some other guys that you would think if you just see that line.
Griff, your thoughts on his line now that I've given it to you?
I'm surprised he didn't get more minutes, because when you said I'd be surprised of his minutes, that's why I went low. But you could feel it, because I was thinking when I was watching the game is we got to get shots for Daniel. He's the hot guy on the team. When shots weren't falling for Grant inside, get the ball inside, pop it back out, and have Daniel on the side of the ball where you've got Williams inbounding it. And when you're passing the ball inside to Grant, make sure you've got Daniel somewhere near, or you're screening the ball away for Daniel so he can get his shot off. Because I just think that for Tennessee to win today on the offensive side, we should have, could have got more shots for Daniel because he was the hot hand.
Back to the phones we go. And Tennessee could have pulled an upset over a professional team in North Carolina. Imagine all the illegal stuff that's gone into building their roster. Let's get our next call in on your Garza Law Tennessee basketball overtime. Hello and welcome in.
Guys, sure appreciate you giving up your Sunday evening to being here with us.
Bean to the star. What's up, brother?
It sure was nice to have a basketball game that means enough for me to pace around my house while it's going on. It's been a long time since I've done that. And I know you guys had to absolutely love that atmosphere because it came through the television long and strong. That must have been some kind of place to be in today.
Well, it was electric, Bino. It was something that you could feel when you got out of your car. Just people were fired up talking outside about the game and people high-fiving each other and wearing orange or white. There was some Carolina blue mixed in there some as well, which is nice for their faithful that made the trip over to Knoxville. But you could feel it when you got your popcorn and people watching the guys warm up, and the crowd got there early. Didn't come in late tonight or today for the game, and just once again, electric environment. And I just hope, Tony, and I'm sure the Vol faithful will stick through this or stay with the Vols when they play Furman coming up and then coming into the SEC, that this team is going to need that support. Not that you're going to have a sellout every game, but they're going to need 16,000, 17,000 people to come out and support this team, especially with an effort that they gave today. I think you'll see the fans come out in droves in the future.
These kids deserve that as hard as they played out.
Yeah, caller, to your point, I don't know if
it's
they were
Bino.
There.
It's not just a caller.
Sorry, Bino. Yeah, sorry.
That's okay, Alex.
No, that's my fault. Sorry.
I have a caller.
Hey, you're Jeff, right? You're Jeff from from Lenoir. No, I don't know how you come into the arena, Mark, but when I came in, there was a small group of guys tailgating outside the back of their truck.
Wow.
And they didn't have a grill or anything, but they had a cooler out there with some drinks, and there was just one car. Right. And I looked at my buddies. I said, hey, if they have that Food City tailgate of the day, I guess these guys are going to run away with it, aren't they? But it's just to your point, though, Bino, that crowd was electric. And, they propped up about the beginning of the game, stand up, be involved at the beginning of the game. We need you. That crowd was in it the entirety of that ball game, even down to the last minute or so.
Hey, let's give Roy Williams and Barnes some credit here. It's hard to get teams to play you home and home. And Roy Williams was willing to do that. There aren't many of those teams that play would come to Knoxville and play and agree to play a home and home.
Totally agree, and I hope they continue to do it, man. I hope they continue to do it because it's great for both fan bases. It's fun stuff. It's something that should have happened a long time ago. And the truth is, the late, great Ray Mears told me many times that Dean Smith was scared to death to play them. They tried so hard to schedule them and couldn't get any satisfaction.
I love the effort today, but it sure is disappointing to be a perennial almost program. I know Carolina's got a good program, but I don't think they're a drop better than us right at this point in the season. They may be by year's end, but that's a game we could have and should have won today.
No question.
And if you win that basketball game, it accelerates the advancement of your program. If you execute down the last 2 minutes of that and beat them in a close game, that just accelerates the advancement of your program, in my opinion.
Well, they should have won the game, right?
Yes.
Should have won the game. That's the thing that's so painful about that loss. And we've almost gotten so conditioned to it that I was looking at my wife and I'm like, you know, honey, we're just not going to win this game. And she goes, why? It's a 2-point game with 90 seconds left. But you just get conditioned to it, right?
Three things I thought were the difference in the game. You guys have stressed two of them a lot, and that one being obviously our inability to execute down a stretch. The other being settling for so many perimeter shots, especially in the second half. Not only is that more difficult to score, but we were way behind the eight ball on the foul count, too, because they were taking the ball a bucket, and we were just settling. So you look up late in the game, and they've still only got five fouls on them, and, I mean, they're shooting the double bonus. The other thing, Mark, that you're going to have to help me with, and maybe I saw it wrong, but it looked to me like after just playing our absolute tail off in the first half, that we came out, start second half, and did not match their energy, and I do not understand that.
Well, you bring up a good point, and one of the things you learn as a student-athlete and anybody that's played competitive basketball, that the first 4 minutes in the second half are the most important minutes during a game that's stressed after the first half, is the first 4 minutes of the second half. You hear it every game from when you're a young kid to your last day of playing the sport. And you're right, Carolina just came out, quieting down the Tennessee crowd because they came out on fire. Tennessee just didn't seem to come out with that intensity that Carolina did, playing that team game. And Tennessee got more into the perimeter type of offense, which got away from what got them there, and what I mean by that is going more inside to Grant, because they couldn't stop him there in the first half when he got hot, and then went away from that. And when you go away from your strength, then you're just having to settle, and it just seemed like they just settled, like you said, with more perimeter shots that didn't go in.
And outside I couldn't agree with you all more.
Outside of Daniel.
Yeah. I couldn't agree with you all more on the time distribution between Fulkerson and Alexander. I think Fulkerson is going to be a really nice player here, but not until he has one healthy offseason when he can get in the weight room. He is just not strong enough to play any amount of minutes at that level of competition.
Well, and Bino, I agree, and that's kind of what I was trying to get at earlier is Grant Williams – you know, isn't as big as some of those guys, but he's stronger than him. He's quicker than him.
Yeah.
My thing with Fulkerson down the stretch is, I'm with you. I think he could be a nice player here in time, but in today's game specifically, he wasn't bigger than North Carolina guys. He wasn't stronger than North Carolina's guys. He wasn't more athletic than their guys. He wasn't quicker than them. I just didn't see the advantage that he brought to the table where a guy like Alexander early in the ballgame was doing some good things, or even a guy like Walker who, you know, didn't play extremely well, but he only got 6 minutes. I just thought that you had to go another direction once you realized he was just getting outworked on the boards.
And he was getting worked.
Yeah, I think Fulkerson's instincts are really good, but he gets caved in underneath the bucket when he's trying to box out, and he can't score through contact. It's a strength thing with him, a total strength thing.
The biggest strength you've got with Fulkerson, I've mentioned this to Tony on many occasions, his best game style is in transition. He's very effective in transition. I don't think he's effective when he's in a half-court game, because if I was scouting Tennessee, I would play him over his left shoulder, and I would make him go – I'd play him over his left shoulder, and I'd make him go right every time, because if you've watched him play, he's had numerous turnovers when they forced him right because his natural move is to go to his left, that little left jump hook. So he's just got to continue to work on his game. And I'm not giving up on Fulkerson, but like you said, Bino, he just needs a good offseason. And it's not going to get it this year as far as the strength that he needs, especially when you get into SEC play, because you're going to go up against a bunch of big guys, too, that can bang. And his biggest strength for UT is in the transition game. Half-court game, he's going to struggle.
Guys, with Bate Furman, Bate Wake Forest, it'll be a real good non-conference run for this team. And Tony, I think we ought to change the name from Checkerboard to Checkmate, because every time we do that, we get our ass beat.
Bino, love you.
Take care.
Gratuitous use of the word ass there from Bino. I don't succumb to such things. Griff, how far home are you right now?
Crossville.
I'll keep it going. 865-200-5402. The goal is to get Griff home tonight on the Garza Law Tennessee Basketball Overtime. We'll be with you at the end of every – should we do one of these, Furman? That's my birthday night, and I'm thinking about bringing some young kids to that one, Griff.
I don't think we should do it, Furman. I think you should wait. If you want to do Wake, that'd be great, if it's on TV or when it's after the TV game, and then SEC would be great.
Yeah, we're doing all the SEC,
Yeah. So Furman, no.
Furman, I'm gonna have a birthday. Is that cool?
Yes.
With the kids.
Plus, that's a late game, Tony. It's a 9 o'clock game.
Huh?
Yeah.
It's a great idea to bring kids to that. Imagine how unruly those young kids would be.
They'll get home at midnight.
Down there with our friends at Amachi.
Yeah, get them there, get some concessions, get them all sugared up real late.
How fun would that be, Griff?
Oh, great. I'll be there.
You going to come see the kids?
I'll be glad to. Let me know where.
We need to do that. Let's go to the phones. My people will be in touch with your people. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys.
Hey, welcome in.
This is Tester Mon.
Hey, brother.
Hey, I thought one thing that Uncle Roy did good in the second half, man, was he slowed that tempo down. And Tennessee never took charge and got back into up and down, you know, push the ball. Of course, we can't finish, you know, but that's another story. But real disappointed again, man. It's like a broken record. You know, you play these monster teams close and fold right there at the end of every game.
Yeah, it's you know, the thing that's really interesting about tonight, though, this program, is that most people are really not as pissed off as they could be.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a level of appreciation for how hard those kids are playing, and I think that's kind of where I'm at. I mean, I just appreciate they did everything in that game today but win the game.
Literally.
I mean, really.
You know, it come down to talent. Look at the in and out point blank misses. Pretty good looks, you know, they just didn't fall. And they're on the other end, bounce pass into a big guy for an easy dunk in traffic. So, you know, it's just things like that. This game was lost on the home national signing day, just like Villanova. I love this team. I mean, I totally love them.
This is going to be a fun team, you know. I'm going to do a couple watch parties up at Bearden Hill Fieldhouse for this team. We're going to have a lot of fun with it. I think they can scratch and claw MP and get their way into the NCAA tournament. But I'll tell you what, through this league, it's not going to be easy because this league knows how to play us. We've seen that the last couple of years. They know how to defend us and play us. And this league is not going to let Williams have one-on-one like they did tonight.
They'll double down.
They will double him. They take him away. It's what's happened the last 2 years in this league. Am I wrong, Mark?
No, you're right. They're going to double him. And if I scouted Tennessee, every time he touched the ball, I would double down, two guys on him, force the ball out, and then go back and pick up, you know, those players. And you're going to leave one. You know, you may have one guy open, but the guy they double with, they'll be able to rotate defense to make sure that it's the least. you know, the least best three-point shooter that'll be open when they do the rotation. So that's going to happen. You're going to see it from Arkansas onward.
Yep.
I really thought Bone was doing a great job early, and, of course, a lot of people have touched on it. But, yeah, I do think down the stretch it would have been nice to have had him in the game. I like Turner, you know. He just got a little Tony Harris in it. but, you know, Bone to me, and there's an enigma because he's athletically, you know, he was getting into the lane and getting shots. And it almost seemed like in the second half he was sort of afraid to do that where he could, you know, get to the lane. And I know it's not a good offense for your point guard to go one on the team, but, you know, when you're not getting any kind of looks and you can't do anything, I think we missed made 2 out of 16 shots. Sometimes you got to try to get your best ball handler to create.
You know, that's a great point. It's hard, though. What doesn't make any sense about tonight's rotation, guys, is it's hard. You can't create when you're sitting on the bench, when you're Bone. That's the thing that doesn't make any sense to me about the end of that basketball game. That's the thing. And then Fulkerson being out there, and I'm not picking on him because he's a fine kid, but it's weird that he's out there at the end of that game. Would somebody please explain that to me?
Well, one thing I was thinking about was they took him out with like 5:46 or so to go, Williams.
Right.
And I don't know if that's when Fulkerson came in or if he had already been in there for a minute or so. But I was thinking, okay, they're going to wait till the media timeout here in a second. And they're just going to give him, you know, another minute or so of rest. And I was like, okay, that's fine. But then he just stayed in. And stayed in and stayed in and stayed in. And like you said, I'm not trying to bash the guy, but when you've got a couple other guys who are playing well at that position, mainly Alexander and had been playing well all the time that he had been able to play, it kind of baffled me, and I'm still baffled about it, that he didn't get more playing time, especially down the stretch when he was one of the few guys that we didn't have in foul trouble. He only had 2 fouls, and guess what? Bone, 0 personal fouls. So the fact that those two weren't in the game at the end, to me, I don't know. It's just questionable.
And they were both
one last thing.
Think about Alexander. He was well rested.
Yeah.
15 minutes in the first half, I think he played. And then I think Tony said he played 18 overall or 19. But he was well rested to come in there with that 5:43 minute or 5:46 minute to give a lift. And you're right, on the bench.
Yeah. One last thing. This was a home and home and not a 2-for-1, right?
Correct.
With North Carolina.
Correct.
Thank God. I never want to schedule them again. We can't beat them, guys. Just like in 2000 when this game is a carbon copy of that 2000 NCAA game, led by 6-8 the whole game and lost. Last year, we should be on a 2-game winning streak against these guys.
Wait a second. No, you want to play them every year. I want to play them every football. I would leverage our football against them. You don't want to just get out. What kind of nonsense is that?
The kids want to play programs like Carolina.
Damn
as well.
Straight. Everywhere
you
go.
Look at Grant Williams. I mean, he's from Charlotte.
Yeah.
You got the Johnson kid that's from Carolina. I mean, you've got kids that want to play. And they play travel ball with these guys or some growing up throughout their early lives. And they want to play the Carolinas of the world. You don't want to just play the Wofford's in December.
Let's get our next call in. No doubt about it. Hello and welcome in.
Yes, brother. It's Brian in Asheville.
Hey, Brian.
How's it going, guys?
Welcome in, man.
Hey, Brian.
Thanks, man. I'll be brief. I don't think we'll plateau, no pun intended, going up Crossville to get to Nashville. Got to get you home there, Griffin, but I like our depth. I don't agree with that 2000 analogy because I think we've got depth and leadership, and you throw in Barnes with the experienced coach. That's why I'm not really mad. It'd be nice to win that game, but I think we're going to have a chance in the postseason if we don't peak too early because of the depth and leadership. We didn't shoot that great. Tony, you made a great point. If Daniel doesn't show up, that game's not real close. It's probably a 10 or 12 point game. So I'm positive about it. I still don't understand Turner not shooting that with coming out of the timeout with 4 seconds left on the shot clock. And Barnes didn't really get on him either, which was kind of weird. But I like the team. I like the depth, and I think we're going to wreak havoc. I just want to wreak havoc in the SEC for once. When if we, I mean, talking about fearing, they picked us 13th out of 14th. How pissed off. They need to play with their chip on their shoulder every game for that, and I hope we go die for the title, get in the tournament, and wreak havoc. But I want to go win the damn SEC. You know what I mean? So, your thoughts.
No doubt about it. And this team has the ability. I don't know about winning the SEC, but this team definitely has the ability to finish in the top five of the league, which gets you into the tournament, right?
Yeah. And here's the thing, too, to the caller. I was looking at the top of the league, you know, predicted, I guess, when the season first started. And you look at two teams, Kentucky and Florida, and a lot of people high on. And I was high on Florida a couple weeks back. But, you know, they've dropped a couple games. Kentucky, obviously, they're not there yet with their players and their young players. They're talented, but they've not meshed yet. They're not where they're going to be here in a couple of months. You look at a team like Auburn, who's playing without arguably two of their best players, and they're 9-1. Mississippi State's 9-1. So while the top of the league, to me, there's no real great team in the league at this point. Also, the bottom of the league, though, this is a league that's got some depth to it for the first time, really, in quite a few years.
Brian, what else you got for us tonight, brother?
I agree. Last thing, and I'll get off. I agree with all that. I mean, I want the teams that have beat us, like Bama, A&M, and I just want to go after them. Our depth and our leadership, I think, going down the stretch with Barnes fixing a few things. Last point, I thought Billis made a good point about Fulkerson. I think he kind of is a key, being the lefty, awkward. If we could really get him rolling, I don't understand why Alexander didn't play more there, but if we can get him rolling, I think that is the little X factor that might take us to the next level. But go Big Orange. Thanks for what you guys do. Let's go beat Wake and be 3-1 against the ACC. I mean, that's good going into the conference play.
You so, better yeah. believe it. We almost walked out of here with the ACC championship tonight, Griff.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned focusing me on the X factor. My X factor has always been Jordan Bowden. Trying to get him. We talked about earlier with one of the callers about getting him the ball and more shots. I mean, he's our best three-point shooter, I feel. Got to get him more shots during a normal game. But tonight, you have to get Daniel more shots, period, because he was on fire and he only took, you know, what, six shots. I mean, you just can't do that and expect to win against, at home against a top team like Carolina. Daniel's just got to get more shots. He even has to create his own shot and drive the basket, but you just got to continue to make things happen while he's in the game.
And you know, Mark Daniel, or excuse me, Bowden is a guy who he really didn't do much early on in the ball game, and I don't remember if it was late in the first half, or early in the second half, but he went to the free throw line, and you sit there and think he sinks the free throw, and a lot of times for a shooter, just to see one go in, you know, they always say that's a really big help. He sees that go in. And then just a couple of minutes later, maybe even a couple of possessions, he goes down and hits the corner three.
Yeah.
And at that point, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, this guy, you know, you talked about it all week. You were saying, Tony, Bowden's going to hit the game-winning shot, you know. And I was sitting there going, maybe that could happen. Bowden's going to start heating up now, and he could kind of carry us through and hit a couple of big shots for us late. That didn't happen, though, and he kind of shied away. And then, as you mentioned, he just, you know, never really got fully into it.
Well, they don't even call his number, though. That's the weird thing about look at his line again. Who's just joining? He's 3 of 7.
2 for 3 from downtown.
He's 2 of 3 from the three-point land. Call his number.
Well, he's out there 27 minutes. He played more than anybody else on the roster today.
Wow.
So if you're going to play a guy that much and you value him that much to play him more than any other guy on the roster, you got to run some stuff for him.
Especially in that game. I mean, that's the pattern was. I was going off the Skylar McBee / Chris Lofton. That's the pattern. He's going to hit that shot to beat them. That's the pattern. Let's go to the phones. Let's get our next call in, 865-200-5402. It's the Garza Law Tennessee Basketball Overtime, where we break it down with you as soon as games end, as soon as today's game went final. We've been on here for close to 2 hours, and I've got time for two more calls, and then I'm eating dinner. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
What's going on, Basilio?
Hey, Brocky, you've got the great Marky Boy Griffin and Alex Love.
All right, good deal. I've enjoyed listening to you guys today. Tony, I'm going to reiterate something that Bino said earlier, and to me that stuck out. And it's you would have thought after that Villanova game, particularly the way they came out and took it to us that first 4 or 5 minutes of the second half, that we'd have been a little bit more prepared for the for much of the same against Carolina. And I didn't feel like we raised our intensity near as much as Carolina did coming out of halftime. That's just me.
What do you think, guys, about the halftime, the intensity after the break? Because that's exactly what Villanova did. Villanova brought it at Tennessee. And Carolina seemed to do the same thing today. Mark, is he right, or is it talent level when the team's focused on you?
Well, I think the biggest key for me the first 4 minutes is effort. I mean, on the defensive end, you just got to bring it. Because, I mean, you make the transitions and during halftime as far as what you're going to do the first 4 minutes. You're drawing up new plays. You're looking at matchups. But the one thing that's constant is, hey, we're going to come out with defensive pressure, and we're going to try to up that pressure before that first TD timeout. And it just seemed like Carolina was able to up that pressure more than Tennessee's intensity level. And let's give Carolina's wings a lot of credit. If you look at the strength of their team, their strength is in their wings as far as being very athletic. I mean, Kenny Williams, great athlete. Princeton, great athlete. I think Barry's a great athlete. Luke May's a great athlete. But where Carolina's weaknesses is, I don't know if you guys picked this up as much, but their weaknesses is inside. And we didn't take advantage of that the first 4 minutes, I don't think, to go strictly inside, get them in foul trouble, take it to May, and Carolina was able to do what they do best, and that's transition basketball.
Brock, anything else for us?
Yeah, just a couple things real quick, Basilio, and I agree with you guys. James, I said this after the last game, Tony. The sooner that Rick Barnes realizes that Daniel's one of his better players, certainly a better scorer, the better off we're going to be. And then lastly, just a comparison between two football schools, quote, that kind of have been somewhat in the same situation basketball-wise the last year, and that's Tennessee and Oklahoma with their coaches and all that. But, Tony, I don't know if you guys have watched Oklahoma this year or not. They went out and signed a difference maker. Now, luckily, he was right in their backyard, his Trey Young. He's averaging 29 points a game and 9 assists a game. And to me, he's the best player in the country. And they went to Wichita State yesterday and beat them convincingly. In the first half alone, he had 21 points, 7 assists, and 0 turnovers. He ended up with 29 and I think like 10 assists for the game. My point being, the frustrating thing about Tennessee basketball right now is if Brent Barnes would go out there and find that difference maker for us, we could be at that same level.
There is no doubt.
He's not going to.
And to your point, James Daniels, a guy who they got grabbed off the fifth-year scrap heap, and he's a hell of a player. I mean, he's a real nice piece. Imagine if you could find a guy like that who's in your program 3 or 4 years.
Well, and you know who didn't play at all today was Pons. And that's a guy a lot of people thought, including myself. I knew he wasn't totally ready. He's not totally a complete basketball player at this point. But I expected him, honestly, at this point in the season, to have more of an impact than he's having right now. He didn't play. He didn't take his warm-up off. You know, that's supposed to be one of your highly regarded.
Griff said that. Griff said he ain't going to play.
He's very athletic, but he cannot. He just can't score. But they've got to get Daniels more minutes than Altona because they've got to find a second. They've got to find somebody to help Williams. And then you get back to Lamonte Turner, if I'm not mistaken. He scored 24 down there at Georgia Tech. And I believe I'm right. I think the last two games he scored 3 and 2 points respectively.
Hey,
you've got to find somebody else to help Williams that can put the ball in the hole and be consistent to it.
Brocky, love you, brother.
All right. Adios, guys.
Hey, Griff, on the way out, and you've been unbelievable. Before we get one final phone call in, Yves Saint Laurent Pons, how long till we see him?
Tony, I don't know if we see him at all. I hate to say it, but I'm thinking maybe they wish they would have redshirted him because I don't think he's transitioned well as far as the Tennessee style of basketball play. I've been to several practices and watched, and you know, freakish athlete. But like Brocky said, hadn't been a great scorer,
But I think it's just taken him a while to learn the system. You know, some guys don't do well learning multiple plays. I know it sounds simple, but you've got to have a pretty good knowledge of the play system before they're even going to put you in the game. And if you're second guessing yourself of where you're supposed to be on the court, you're not going to get on the court. And that's what I saw with him, was not knowing where to be on the court during certain times when a play's run. And that's hurt his development as a transition over to this program. So I don't know if we've seen him much at all unless he continues to learn more in practice. I'm not ruling him out, but he's got a long ways to go before I see him playing in front of other guys on this program.
Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in, our final call on our Garza Law Tennessee basketball overtime reminder. Our daily show will be with you tomorrow, 11 o'clock Eastern time. We'll have more on this game. We'll have more on the unfolding drama with Austin Thomas and more on the recruiting weekend that was. So let's get our next call. Hello and welcome.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, finish us up and welcome in.
Thank you, sir. Just wanted to say Tennessee put on a fantastic show, the big house, the checkerboard, and that type of thing, and I think things are going in the right direction. And correct me, guys, if I'm wrong, but it looks like, you know, if we can just toe the line, stay healthy, keep improving with the depth we have, it looks like we could have a great tournament team coming up. It looks like, you know, to close the deal, the really good teams have a guard that can drive in, maybe get the foul, and win the game at the end, or feed it into a big man and win that way. It didn't seem like we had that together at the end, and I'd like to hear your guys' comments on that.
Tournament team. To me, the best tournament teams are the ones that have a guard. You can stick the ball in the hands of somebody and say, go get me something.
Yeah.
And I don't see that on our basketball team. Now, we are deep, and we do play hard, and we are unconventional, and we will take the best of them and drag them into the mud. Case in point, North Carolina today. But Carolina still was able to manufacture enough.
Tony, in the tournament more than any other time, and really more than any other sport, you've got to have a guy that can take the ball in his hands, and that's where you got to have a guard. Because like you said, the guard play in tournament is everything. And you got to have a guy that if it's a 78-78 ball game, 62-61 ball game, you got to have a guy that down the stretch,
yeah,
you can just say, when everything breaks down offensively, there's nobody moving around, everybody's dead tired, you got to say, hey, just go get me one. Whether it's a pull-up
absolutely
jump shot,
now,
like a
Kemba
Walker a few years ago, whether it's a guy, yeah, you just say, just blow past your man and get to the rim, just get us one. And right now, from the guard play, I don't know if Tennessee has that. You saw it at the end when we didn't have that today.
No.
And you saw where Daniel provided that for a while, but at the end it was Williams or bust, and Williams got tired, and you didn't have that horse in the backcourt that you needed.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. As a Tennessee fan, you know, we saw it as far back against Ohio State when we had them 21. I think they chopped it down to 19 at the half in that tourney game, but that guard, I can't think of his name now, in the second half, he just kept driving inside, going to the free throw line, and the Buckeyes beat us that day. And it seems like in the tournament, you do need that guard. When the three-point shot doesn't go, that guard's got to be able to drive in and draw the foul and make the free throws.
Love it. Hey, appreciate the phone call. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Mark Griffin, you will read his three-pointers coming up for the App State game on my birthday.
Harmon.
What I call him?
App State.
Yeah. Well, Furman's got a pretty nice little team, Mark.
Yes.
They're not
right.
They're not what we call bad. In fact, if Tennessee doesn't mind their P's and Q's in that game, they could sneak in here. They're coming off a 103-47 pasting of the Montreal Canadiens, and then they beat North Carolina Wilmington 90-84, and then they're here on Wednesday 12-20. My birthday is actually the 23rd. I don't know what I'm thinking about, but there you go, 12-20.
Another thing, Tony, before we finish up, we're talking about NCAA tournament type teams and what to look for.
look at the teams that Tennessee's lost to. Villanova, what they have, great guard. What did North Carolina have? Great guard. So you're right. Guard play is key. Another key is defensive play. And that's one thing that I really look positively at this Tennessee team, because they do play with great defensive intensity. So I think this is what's going to help them be in the top five. I had them predicted number seven in the SEC, but I think now if they can continue to stay healthy and play like they are capable of playing, could finish in the top five. You know, and then it could be, you know, subject to move to the top three or so, depending on how other teams fare. But nonetheless, Tony, I think that with the defense that Tennessee even played this evening, they're playing against a team that averaged 88 points a game. So they came and I think did what they wanted to do as far as scouting plan. And for this Tennessee team to make the NCAA tournament, just got to continue to play with great intensity on the defensive end and get more play out of one of their guards down the stretch, especially.
No nights off out of these guys. They didn't take one today. They almost got out of here with a win. So I love and appreciate you, Mark Griffin. Lindsay, thank you for sharing Mark with us. It's unbelievable. Andy Mack, congratulations to her. Carolina Tar Heels, and I'm, even though they cheat vociferously. Griff, I love you.
Love you, brother. Thanks again. Go Vols.
Thank you, brother. Alex, give me a final thought. You were over there today representing. You lost your voice.
Yeah. A couple quick things, and then I'll share my game thoughts. Is one, congratulations to the Tar Heel fans. I was happy with how they represented themselves. I was happy with Tennessee fans how they represented themselves. And I just say that because, you know, a lot of times a fan base will come in and they're just annoying people around you, and just, you know, and that didn't happen today. You know,
they were MTSU people are like that.
They're respectful. They
their dance team.
They were prideful, but they were classy. And so, you know, shout out to you guys for that. The other thing was the Tennessee fans and the environment. It was incredible. And I expect nothing less from Tennessee fans, because I've seen Tennessee basketball when they were at their highs, and I've seen this basketball program when it's at its lows, and both times the fans come out and the fans are there. You said it time and time again, and it's the truth, Tony. This is one of the more underserved and underrated basketball fan bases of all time, and throughout the country. And they showed that again today when they came out and supported. As far as the game goes, Tony, I thought, as it's been said many times throughout the show here tonight, the effort was there from start to finish from the players. They got to be proud of that. Coach Barnes had them ready to play. But at the end of the day, they just had a little bit more in the tank at the end than us. Grant Williams played phenomenally for about 35 minutes of that ball game, but he just got gassed, and you can't blame that on him. There was a heck of a load on him today, and if we just had somebody else down the stretch that could have made a couple more plays, Tony, I think it's a difference. I mean, we talked about it where Joel Berry, he didn't have to make plays the entirety of the second half, but when it came down to the stretch, he was ready to go. And Williams he didn't have that luxury. He had to be ready to go throughout, and I think that's really the difference. A well-played game from both sides. Great college basketball game. If you take the fandom out of it, but disappointing at the end, obviously, not getting the win.
I really appreciate you, bro. Thanks.
Hey, thank you, Tony.
For the great Alex Myers, this is Tony Basilio saying to you, isn't it great to have Tennessee basketball back? It's fun today. Not fun losing, but it's fun to be in a town leading up to that game. It's fun to be doing this show in a town leading up to that game. It's fun to see the enthusiasm that we saw for the Tennessee basketball volunteers, the sense of anticipation for today's game. Tennessee's administration pulled off, it was really well done. The checker Tommy. Got a lot to look forward to in 2018. 2018 is going to be very interesting. Tomorrow we're going to chronicle. Continue to these last days of 2017 as the world turns with Austin Thomas, a guy who inevitably quit his job without knowing what his new job was. Only here. Only here. I want to thank my friend Marcos Garza and your Garza Law Firm, GarzaLaw.com, online, full service. They will take great care of you. Tennessee loses 78-73 today. The Volunteers fall to 7-2 on the year. The Purple Paladins of Furman. Georgie Boy Quarrel Squad is up next on Wednesday evening, followed by a trip to Wake Forest on my birthday. Al, are you doing SCC Sunday night tonight?
Negative.
Huh?
Negative.
Not doing it?
Let
me walk out of here. We'll hit the music, and you can go till 9 o'clock tonight talking about...
I think we'll go to about 10:15 Central.
Alex, come on, man. You can do it. You do it.
We can do Titans, the Garza Titans postgame show when they blow this right here.
They're pumping hearts at you.
That's probably Kendra watching.
Until we meet again, for all those behind the scenes, love you, God bless, go Vols, go.